So if you're a TV watcher, and it's Saturday afternoon, what channel do you turn on? For me, it's usually HGTV. Because on Saturday afternoons, there's always some sort of marathon going on. It's either Property Brothers or Fixer Upper or that show where individuals are literally buying entire islands in the Caribbean. So yesterday, after we finished hosting a birthday party for a posse of four-year-olds, I plopped down on the couch to watch a marathon of Love It or List It. The show's basic premise pits a home designer and a realtor against each other. The designer is going to do all she can to keep the homeowners from selling their home and moving to a house that the realtor helps find. This show is the ultimate comparison show because it literally takes the work of a designer and puts it next to homes that exist in the area. And I love this show because each show is basically the same. The homeowners always want the same kind of work done on their homes, and they're always looking for the same kind of move-in ready house in their neighborhood. And once we meet the homeowners, I feel like we already know what's going to happen. They just need to speak a few words, and we know if they're going to stay in their home or leave it. This is a show where there's no real tension. So we all get to sit back and enjoy an hour of sarcastic remarks between the hosts, unexpected problems that cause the renovation to use more money than originally planned, and a final reveal of two homes that in the end are always breathtaking. Now, I have no idea what kind of home Martha had. I have no idea if she loved it or if she was hoping to list it. But I always assume that in our story today, her floor plan matches what everyone seems to want on the show. It's open. She can be in the kitchen and still know what her kids are doing on the other side of the house and interact with the guests she's entertaining in her home. So when Martha invites Jesus and his entourage into her home, Martha sees everything that's going on. When she's in the kitchen prepping the food, every time she looks up, she sees her sister, Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet. When Martha goes to fill up someone's glass that has run empty, she sees her sister, Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet. Every time Martha does what she's supposed to do, showing hospitality to the Son of God who she invited into her home, she looks up and sees Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. And then Martha can't take it anymore. She speaks up. She pleads with Jesus to get Mary to help. But Jesus refuses. Instead, with a gentleness that we can hear because he repeats Martha's name twice, Jesus says that Mary has chosen the better way. There is only one thing that is needed, and that will not be taken away from her. And that's where the reading ends. We don't hear what happens next. We don't get to see Martha's face after Jesus speaks these words. We don't see if Mary feels some guilt and she actually gets up and helps her sister. We have no idea how awkward the conversation the next morning between the two sisters is, though I'm sure we can probably guess. As readers and hearers of this story, we get to fill in our own ending. So after Jesus speaks, What happens next? Now, if I'm honest, I'll admit, I usually imagine Martha heading back to the kitchen, almost sulking, while Mary sits there listening to Jesus speak. This story ends like this because it feels like a competition, where Jesus intervened and declared Mary to be the winner. Jesus says Mary chose the better path. So this story becomes a story of comparison, where Mary chose rightly and Martha chose poorly. So the ending I give the text includes the competition I see within it. Jesus loves Mary, and so Mary stays close, while Martha, somehow, has to leave. And this is my default response to the story. The competition between women is something I bring into the text without thinking. But this thinking needs to be undone, because when I look at the details of this story, Jesus is not judging a competition in the text. He isn't putting these women against each other into a Martha versus Mary showdown. Because if he was, then what would Jesus' dismissal of Martha say about Jesus? He'd be downplaying what Martha is doing. But he can't really do that, because the word that's translated here as tasks is really the Greek word for service. It's a word for ministry. Martha isn't just being a host at a dinner party. She's inviting people into her home, taking care of their needs and wants, and opening her door to love people who are different than her. She's serving. She's just not doing. And in the gospel according to Luke, Jesus' ministry is all about serving. Jesus can't dismiss or diminish what Martha is doing, because he's doing the exact same thing. In our text today, Jesus isn't comparing Martha to Mary. He's showing Martha what's possible. Because Mary isn't just sitting there on the floor, sitting at Jesus' feet because the disciples took all the chairs. In Jesus' time, a disciple or a student of a religious teacher was described as someone who sat at their feet. To be a disciple is to literally sit there, learning all we can from what the teacher shows and teaches. And in Jesus' time, this student is always expected to be a man. That's what Martha and the others could only see. Every time Martha looked up from her service and saw Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, Martha could only see her sister not working. She couldn't imagine Mary as a disciple. But Mary and Jesus could. In the words of Reverend Caroline Lewis, preaching professor at Luther Seminary, this is a story about the fact that even Mary, even a woman, even those we have determined outside of God's grace, can imagine themselves as disciples. This isn't a text about who is better. This is a text about possibility and the invitation for all to believe that we are who God sees us to be. In a week where the news was dominated by a terror attack in France, an attempted military coup in Turkey, civil rights protests all over the country, and where two political conventions are about to kick off, We'll hear a lot of comparisons about who is right, who is wrong, and what the future might look like if we vote for the wrong side. It's easy to see the world only in comparisons. We see the world as a competition, so we look for the Marthas and the Marys in every story we read or see. We can quickly find ourselves listening to just the first few words out of the mouths of people around us and think we know the ending already. But what if, instead of looking for the comparison or only seeing the competition, we looked for all the possibilities God's kingdom brings? What if we saw the stranger as a Mary we just haven't met yet? And what if we accepted that God's kingdom has space for us and for the rest of the world because we are all beloved children of God? When we, like Mary, imagine ourselves as part of God's kingdom, when we see ourselves as part of this Jesus who lived, taught, loved, and died, not to compete with us, but to reconcile this world that God loves, we are instantly called to see the world as God sees it, to imagine that the possibilities brought by God's love can happen now, and that we're not here to put Martha and Mary against each other. We're here to live out all of God's possibilities right here and right now. Amen.